Welcome to worship on this fourth Sunday of Easter. Signs of spring all around, lambs and sheep. The lambs jumping up and down as if they've got springs instead of legs. You're very welcome. Let us worship God.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, we come to you now asking for your blessing and help as we are gathered together. We pray for your guidance as we read and study your word. Jesus spoke in the parable of the Good Shepherd of his knowing and caring for his sheep. Help us also to identify the needs of others and show us how we can work together to care for others in our own communities and in regions far away from here. Jesus sought to teach the disciples and the people the meaning of his parables. Help us now to understand the message which is being given to us. Amen.
As I start a reflection, I usually go through it a good few times and then draw some notes up, sort of first impressions. And these are some of my first thoughts as I've been reading through this passage from John. So in the reading, we hear that Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. And it's an apt analogy for us who live here today, especially at this time of year with lambing underway. In Jesus' time, the threat to the lambs and to the sheep were wild animals. The threat for our lambs and sheep are the eagles, the birds of prey, and also the cars on the road. Jesus draws a comparison between a good shepherd and a hired hand. The shepherd understands the sheep and would protect them even if it meant coming to harm himself. He would willingly lay down his life for them. In the days of Jesus, the climate was dry. It meant that the grass was scarce, and so they had to move around from place to place in search of pasture, often alongside other flocks and other shepherds. But the safety of the sheep was the responsibility of the shepherd. He would live with them, spend his days and nights with them, supervising the sheep. And at night he would lie across the gateway to the fold, so that he would be aware of anybody coming in or going out or any wild animals. He'd become the gateway so that the sheep were protected. But a hired hand would simply be that, a person supervising the sheep without really caring. He was just paid to be there. It was not a very glamorous job at all, living under difficult circumstances and not very well paid. And so it would attract some irresponsible people, men and boys, who, when faced with difficulty, they would probably scarper and leave the sheep to fend for themselves. Now, several flocks, because they're travelling around with other flocks and other shepherds, several flocks would occupy one sheepfold overnight, and then the shepherd would come in the morning and call them out. So against this background, Jesus is telling everybody that he knows and cares for his sheep as much as he cares for his Father, and his Father cares for him, and that he would willingly die for his sheep. He sees other sheep outside the sheep pen, which he says are his, and if they listen to his voice, they will join his flock. Now, statements such as this would be very disturbing for the Orthodox Jews. They'd ask themselves, is Jesus actually suggesting that those who are not of the faith, in other words, not Jewish, can be included in this Christian group? Is that what they're saying? But just as the Jews of Jesus' time would be perturbed by such statements, so might people of today's faiths and organisations. They might ask themselves, are those people going to join our organisation, come to our church? Well, let's discuss it further a little later on.
John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father.
Reading through this small section of the chapter of John, what struck me was that the message coming through the words was the importance of relationship, care, and responsibility towards others. Relationship. Jesus says he knows these sheep in the same way as he knows his Father, and in the same way as his Father knows him. Care. Jesus says he will protect his sheep, even to the extent that he will lay down his life for them. And responsibility. He shows concern for those who are not within the sheepfold, especially when he knows that they should be. He vows to bring them back into the flock so that it becomes one flock with one shepherd. One of the best bits of advice I have read since I started training as a reader was in a book written by an evangelical preacher called John Stott. And in it, he said that in order to preach the message from the Bible, you had to double listen. To double listen in order to preach. What does that mean? Well, he didn't mean that you had to read the same passage through twice. Usually, you would read a passage many more times than that. He meant that you had to employ a second set of ears, a second way of understanding, and more often than not, a third and a fourth set of ears, asking yourself, who is this message for? So who was Jesus talking to? Who was the message for? Is it for me? Well, the people in front of him at that time would have been Jews, and some would have been his disciples, some ordinary folk, and some would be priests, the Pharisees, waiting to see if they could catch him out in blasphemy. But he was likening the Jews, the priests, and some of the other Jews, to hired hands. Having accepted the money for the job, they don't develop a relationship with their flock, and they certainly don't take responsibility for them or care about them. They do not keep their flock as their employer, God, would like. Where is that relationship, that responsibility, and that care? The disciples needed to hear the message. They would need it later. Once Jesus had died and the disciples were taking the faith and the good news out to the Gentiles, and remember, anybody who was not a Jew was called a Gentile, they met stiff opposition from Orthodox Jews. These strict Jews were insisting that to follow the Christian faith, the Gentiles had to first conform to the Jewish laws of diet and circumcision. They were trying to make Christianity like an exclusive club, an offshoot from Judaism, which only a few could join. And the criteria to join had nothing to do with faith or belief. Where is that relationship, that responsibility and care? Is there a message for us as we listen with our 21st century ears? Jesus says, as the Father knows me and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep and they know me. Well, this opens up quite a few questions and challenges, doesn't it? There is no doubt that the Father knows us. But do we take the time to get to know the Father? How would you assess your relationship? There is no doubt that Jesus knows us. But do we take the time to get to know Jesus? And what about this relationship? Do we know our fellow sheep? As I wrote fellow sheep, I made a spelling mistake and it came out as fellowship. Coincidence? Do we even know the sheep who are in the same sheepfold as we are? And do we know the ones outside who should be invited into the fold? Jesus said, there are other sheep which belong to me that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them too. They will listen to my voice and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Do we know who these people are and could we bring them in? A few years ago, Steve Aisthorpe wrote a book called The Invisible Church. And in it, he was researching and exploring why some folk had left churches having been attending for some time and why others would not even think of attending a church. The results were interesting and gave food for thought. Well, apart from personality clashes, one of the main reasons for not attending or leaving church was that people felt that they didn't belong. Maybe that particular sheep pen had walls that were too rigid. Over the years, though, since then, I think a great deal of attention has been paid to becoming more inclusive and welcoming so that people hopefully now do feel welcome. Tradition and ceremonial can be off-putting, frightened that you would be embarrassed if you don't stand or sit when you should. This can be another brick in the wall of the sheep pen. It used to be assumed that people would know when to stand and when to sit, but nowadays they don't. Nowadays at baptisms and funerals, most ministers will say to the congregation, please stand now or now sit. A few years ago, Ken and I went to a funeral of a friend who was Roman Catholic, and we deliberately went to the back pew so that we'd be able to see the people in front of us, so that we would know when to stand and when to sit. Imagine our horror when somebody came and moved us down to the front pew because they wanted to make room for people at the back. We'd lost our prompts. Anyway, we managed. What else can bring people to Christ? How else can we spread the good news of gospel teaching and kingdom values? After all, mission is the main function of the church and of us, the followers of Jesus. So let's go back to the message in the reading. Relationships, care, responsibility. Can we explore any of these? The bricks in the wall of the church sheep pen have grown over the years, often making relationships with those who are not church attenders difficult and exclusive. Keeping some in, but also keeping many out. It would show that we cared if we took time to really examine what those bricks are and see how many of those bricks we can remove. Now, I've suggested that not knowing what goes on might account for a few bricks. What others can we identify? Maybe the language used? As we remove these barriers, relationships will become easier and more caring. And as the walls come down altogether, the good news of the gospel can spill out to all those who come anywhere near.
Let's come to our Father in prayer. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for those words. Forgive us when we forget to rejoice and forget to thank you and come to you only with our requests. You know that there are times when we feel we cannot rejoice and we think we have nothing to thank you for, but you are always there as the Father who loves us and draws us near to you regardless. So we bring to you all the things that challenge us, bring us low, make us feel depressed or bitter or angry. We ask that through your Holy Spirit, you will heal us and give us your peace. We bring to you our world and ask that you will make us more responsible and caring of our planet. Help us to find a place to start to protect our environment, even if our actions seem small and insignificant compared with the enormity of the problems. Bless our efforts and multiply them as the countries of the world come together to work out solutions together. We bring to you our country and our community. Help us as members of your church to show others what it means to follow Christ. Help us to love one another as he commanded his followers, to put others' needs on a par with our own, and to shine out as a beacon of your love wherever we are. We bring ourselves and those we love. We rejoice in your love and we thank you for the blessings that you pour on us. We know that many people are struggling at this time and find it difficult to see how their challenges can come to an end. Give us the compassion of Christ for those we love and for those we should reach out to in love. Give us patience and wisdom as we try to follow Christ in living out the values of your kingdom. May your kingdom come and your will be done. Amen.
Let's join together with our prayer of offering as we dedicate the offering. Gracious God, you know us and we know you. You have given everything for us and we live in your grace and in your love. Today we join together in praise of you and offer these tokens of money as a sign of our commitment to the work of this community, as well as your mission and your message. And now let's pray together with the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen.
Are hard to see, and struggles surface everywhere. We lay our lives before His sovereignty. And pray His peace would find us there. Jesus, Lord of peace, is with us now and will forever be. A shepherd king who leads us into perfect still. I know.
As one of his beloved flock, let us go in peace to love and to serve Jesus, the Good Shepherd of us all. And the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us all and those we love until we meet again. Amen.